Now, the trial of a man accused of dangerous driving causing the death of Paddy Palmer collapsed in Cork yesterday. It collapsed after a juror over the weekend visited the scene of the collision that resulted in the death of GAA broadcaster, who was originally from Templeknowe. As a result, Judge Colin Daly declared a mistrial at Cork Circuit Criminal Court. Now, we're joined in line by Solicitor John Galvin, Secretary of the Kerry Law Society, who outlines what jurors can and can't do, and, you know, the sort of actions by jurors that could lead to the collapse of a trial. John, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gerry.
This is a very difficult situation for the families and all involved, really, because it prolongs the whole thing after the whole trial had been done. Look, aside from the intricacies of that and what happens next, what are the sort of things, and this obviously is an example of one of the things that you're not meant to do, how central is that direction from the judge at start of the trial that jurors must only pay attention or have regard to evidence presented in court?
And Gerry, when you're selected as a juror, you're asked to swear an oath, and as part of that oath you swear to hear the case on the basis of the facts laid before you. So the situation herein is that a judge will advise a jury once they've been impaneled that they can only decide the case on the evidence that's produced in court. The judge will point out, say, that the prosecution will present facts and that the defence will query the facts and may deny them. And then the judge also points out that when the jury go out to consider their verdict, it's the judge who directs them on the law. Now, in any trial, when a jury go out, they're entitled to come back and seek clarification on points or look for extra documentation or copies of maps or copies of statements that were made in the guard to be furnished to them. So therefore, when the jury go away to consider their decision, they do have the option of seeking clarification.
Yeah, and they can do that. So, you wonder what was going on or why someone would make the decision if the evidence was there or pictures may have been there from the site themselves. What are the sort of other things that jurors can fall foul of to create this sort of a situation?
I suppose, again, in the modern age, and they're requested not to Google either the defendant or the alleged victim, nor to Google if, say, it's an incident that would have generated a lot of media publicity when it happened. The trial then, therefore, is maybe a year and a half later. But you're requested, not to go back to check what was in the media at that stage. And it may be this, that this juror was so concerned about the evidence that they thought they were doing the right thing going down.
They probably thought they were being conscientious in saying, look, I need to have a little look. I'll go myself, have a look and see what the story is, in trying to make the best decision based on the facts.
Yeah. And, unfortunately, as I said, you are advised from day one to just listen to and decide on what's said in the courtroom. You have to, the proof for the state is beyond reasonable doubt, and which is a high threshold. But at the same time, you can only listen to what's said in court decide on that.
Yeah. Are there any consequences for jurors whose behaviour leads to collapse of a trial?
I don't believe so. In my opinion, this wasn't a malicious, taking out the trial. This was just someone, maybe, as I said, being too conscientious, and this was just a lapse. It's not a case of this was done deliberately as to sabotage the running of the trial.
Yeah, it's normally on the other side of things where someone tries to interfere with a jury that falls foul. I remember one time I was called for jury service in Dublin. I went, and what the trial being selected were sort of someone who was up in charges for interfering with a jury in the first place. So there you go.
Right.
that can happen. On all of this, do we take some solace from the fact that the system is working? The sworn jury minder here brought it to the attention of the court that it overheard this. So that's a system that's in place to protect trials.
Absolutely. And it's like this, the person who's in charge of the jury is told he or she cannot discuss anything with the jury panel, say while they're out to lunch. I remember whatever, maybe 20 years ago, a jury used to be when the trial, if a trial was on, they'd be, and say at 5 o'clock in the evening, they'd be told then they all had to head away and stay in a hotel and keep away and not to to discuss the matter, either one amongst themselves or to contact their families at home. But I mean, nowadays the jury are allowed to go home, but again they're warned on leaving the courthouse not to discuss the matter with the outside world, not to discuss it amongst themselves, because it's only when all the evidence has been heard and everything, and then the judge has directed them on the law thereafter, that's the jury must start considering their decision.
Yeah, they certainly must. Okay, John, listen, thanks a million for talking to us about that this morning. We've a listener gets in touch with us on the program and says, jury, I wouldn't in a million years have known it was the wrong thing to do to visit site of the crime. Instead, she would have thought it would help you decide if you could visually see where the crime had been committed. I would also think it was a good thing the juror should be taking his duties so seriously. On the way, ours to protect.